Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Super Friday with the big holiday weekend coming up. We haven't talked about the Radio Music Fest going on, have we? That I'm doing with all the guys at the pageant.
Oh, yeah. I think you mentioned it once or twice, but yeah, we haven't really promoted it or anything.
I'm not sure we really talked about it on the air because it was kind of a secret. Coming up on July 20th, Mark Close, I think, put it together. At least he's the one that reached out to me. Musicians who are in radio are going to get together and do like a big concert. And just a whole bunch of great names and a bunch of non-radio like professionals. And you guys were at the last DGS Live when Jimmy Griffin and I did the Acoustic Beatles set, and we're going to redo that.
Oh, fun.
Awesome. Yeah. That should be fun. That should be really cool.
Are you going to play with Mark?
It's not planned.
Yeah.
Like, it would be pretty easy just to jump in on drums.
Sure.
But no, I think we're just going to... That's really cool. I've played the pageant a bunch as far as hosting, but I've never played at the pageant.
Oh, really?
And so, just me and Jim... up there with a guitar and two mics should be really cool.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Hey. Winnie the Pooh's blustery day out there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
It's very humid.
Yeah.
Very humid.
Weird.
I do point this morning.
You know, I swear I heard Michael. It's difficult to hear the news because we're all chatting in here. But I heard him naming counties and I thought, uh-oh, are we in storm mode?
I mean, I don't know why we're not.
We should be.
You know who's always in storm mode? Gasconade County.
Pike. Always. Pike.
McCoopin.
The sun never shines in Pike.
Right. That's right. What are they doing out there where they never get good weather?
Yeah.
I like that we're all implying that it's their fault. It's like, what's their problem?
Is it?
My brother texted me. He's like, bro, what's going on in Gasconade? Why are they always Gasconade. Getting the worst?
Is it Viburnum? Is that how you say it? That one's always there. It could be like a typhoon hitting Hawaii and they're like, and Viburnum, Missouri. Yep. They're taking it in the shorts.
Viburnum is a plant. It's sort of like a honeysuckle, but they recently changed it so it's no longer a honeysuckle.
I was talking about the different one.
Oh, okay.
The one where people live.
I never heard of either.
Someone's got to fill Kevin's shoes.
You're right. Yeah. Someone's
got to
Google things and pretend he knew it.
It doesn't rain in the plant, Dave. It's a plant.
I was just complimenting Megan Lynch. I've been going to see my mom in the morning and listening to Total Information AM, and I'm so impressed with Megan and Tommy and Debbie because what they do is so different than what we do. And I think you always find it impressive when someone does something that you don't do or can't do. And this is pretty freewheeling, you know, which is tough because it's 4 hours out of the old noggin. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not so great. But those guys have to actually deliver. They have to, like, do something. They have to hit marks. Have you done shows like that?
Yeah, but they can't make mistakes.
Exactly. Well put.
You know, like, it's not just hitting the time. It's not making mistakes that are, like, that'll come back to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reporting the wrong thing or misleading or whatever.
And the enterprise and the self-delegation to be like, I'm going to find stories. I'm going to, because the stories don't just end up on their desk.
Right.
Where it's like, go investigate this. They are just keeping up constantly, whether it's county council notes or notes from the, you know, the board of aldermen or the police scanner. They're constantly keeping their eye on what's going on in ways that we don't and we can't.
Yep.
And I would be like, I don't know. I'm not in the loop. I don't have a story.
Better get in the loop.
I know.
That's a great way to put it, Ronj, that they can make mistakes. I feel like we don't make mistakes because it's not a mistake-driven thing. I remember when I first started this, if I was so clutched and just so tight, and if I would mispronounce a word or if my thought wouldn't go exactly right or if a joke wouldn't land, it was just death. And now it's like, you just keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be wrong. And when I'm not talking about opinion stuff, I mean just getting things factually wrong. You don't want to, but also it's not like it's not the it's not a huge deal if you do, because you can just quickly correct it. Like, I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You could say anchor or a reporter can't say, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Totally made it up.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Megan can't report a story and they go, well, what do I know?
I'm
just one person.
It looks like a plant. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I saw something today that reminded me of what we do. It was, you know, the whole TSA and it's going to be the worst travel day in 10 years. And there was a woman, lovely young woman playing the violin in the middle of the TSA line. Just, you know, and I thought, that's what I do. I play the violin in the TSA line. Like, people are running around doing their lives, stuck in traffic, whatever, and we're just distracting them from their lives.
I hope
which is a valuable thing.
Yeah, I hope we're a little less annoying than somebody playing.
You would find that annoying?
Yeah, I think so. It's sort of like, remember when the story when the plane got delayed and so the two people with an acoustic guitar
You're captive on a plane. That's
different. I would rather someone just like take a glove and just slap me in the face back and forth.
I don't see a big difference.
Just crash the plane.
I see them as the same thing.
One is a Sunday school a-hole who just wants to perform for the girl he has a crush on. And the other one's a professional violinist who's taking her own time and entertaining people who are having a hard day.
So is she separate? Is she out of the line?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But she wasn't standing in the line.
Yeah, okay. I thought she was in line and the line's not moving. And she's like, well, now's my chance.
Also, you could poke someone if you're in line and you're playing the violin.
Right.
That would be difficult.
Gosh, so no
right.
poking.
You're so right.
What's that thing called?
Bow.
Poker.
The bow.
Poker.
The poker.
Jabber.
Where'd you get that? From the fireplace. Using it.
Here's a string. Tie it to both ends.
Was anyone else a nervous little kid?
Yeah.
Just like an anxious little kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I unlocked an old fear, and it was summer school.
Hmm.
Remember how the teachers used to threaten with summer school? Summer school was the worst thing you could possibly do because it meant you were stupid. Because only the stupid kids went to summer school. But I was always on the edge of stupid. Yeah. And it'd just be like, well, I guess you can just, I'll see you here on June 1st. And it's like, I would go home and just poop water. Like, it was just so terrible.
Yep.
And now I look back and I'm like, you pieces of crap. That was completely idle threats.
Yeah, they weren't coming in June.
They didn't want to come in and teach me how to do long division.
They wanted to be there less than you did.
That's an interesting concept you do not realize until you're well into adulthood that they don't want to be there either.
When you're doing the threat.
Yeah, you think these adults are at this school all the time and they're just going to make me come in. They don't want to be there.
It's not until you threaten a little kid with something, realizing that there's nothing behind that threat.
Yes.
Yeah, you're driving to Disney World and you're yelling at your kids and you're like, I hope they don't make me turn around. I want to ride.
Grace, what was your
Space Mountain?
Biggest fear, like school fear?
Well, I told you in first grade, I was helping my friend who had a crush on a girl. I was helping him write her love notes because he didn't know how to write.
Like Cyrano.
Oh, Cyrano, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'll help you out. And so I would be like, I like you.
Did
signed
you get
Larry.
Saucy?
No, I didn't. But the teacher found the note and she goes, I know for a fact that Larry did not write this.
Wow.
So we are going to have a detective come in and analyze everyone's handwriting. And you will go to jail. I still didn't admit it because I thought, like, I knew that there was an outside chance that that wasn't going to happen.
You were going to lie to the cops?
No. But if the cops would have actually showed up, I would have crumbled.
Oh, yeah. I would have lied to the cops.
But I didn't. It was just so crazy because I didn't do anything wrong.
I ain't going away.
You know what I almost got in big trouble for?
That was such an insane lie.
I almost got in trouble for stealing Bibles, of all things. In sixth grade, we were...
To read?
I just wanted to possess them. when we were walking out of school at 3 o'clock, there was someone out there handing out smallish Bibles. And it was just a thing. It was something to possess. And I kept getting in line. I kept going back in and coming out and like, oh, Bibles, I'll take one of those. I ended up with like 18 Bibles. And the next day they said at school, sort of like you, they're like, not everyone got a Bible. And so if some of you got more than one, and I'm sitting on 18 of them. So
Rachel touched on something that I want to address.
I should have read it.
I would like to address this. Us millennials and younger get a lot of flack for being the anxious generation, though. We can't do it, the scared generation or whatever, you know. when we were growing up, that's the kind of stuff that we got piled on us by our adults.
Yeah, like
we
got piled on. They're going to DNA test you.
They're going to DNA test you and throw you in jail because you forged a love note on behalf of someone else or whatever. That's because we all got stuff like that in school. Like the teachers didn't know how to handle the students.
Let me go toe-to-toe with you on that. When you guys were small, if someone was bullying you, they would have 18 meetings about it. The teacher would just make us wrestle in front of the whole class. There was zero protection.
We used to get threatened with paddles.
Not threatened.
And then they would paddle you.
Wasn't it a canoe paddle?
Well, I had one teacher who did have a boat oar.
Boat oar was an empty threat, though.
Now, that one might have been an empty
you
threat.
You never got boat oared.
No, I didn't. I was a good kid. But the paddles were real. SWATs were, it was called a SWAT. You would get a SWAT for really acting up.
I bet you guys never got that.
No, they can't. Teachers can't do that now.
I feel like the first grade teacher threatened to spank because it was a private school, so they maybe would have been able to get away with it.
They
but I don't
spank
remember,
you with their hand there.
I don't remember anyone getting spanked.
You ever get a SWAT?
A threat.
No, but man, did I live in fear of it.
I did too. I did too.
Boy. Because they used to SWAT.
You could hear it.
And it was the same kids over and over again. Harold Benton, Terry Heron. Like, it was just Jim.
Harold and Terry.
Jim Hamburger. That was his name.
Hamburger.
And they would just, okay, Terry, get out here. And they would SWAT like four times.
Oh,
and those old schools were made out of marble and alabaster.
It echoed.
And it would echo.
Yeah.
I would love to think that the kids were in on it. Like they were just smacking the floor or something.
Sure. Jim Hamburger's just giggling up a storm.
The joke's on us. All the normies.
I feel like I could take a SWAT.
I would
be afraid of a SWAT.
What a strange thing to say.
Oboe days.
Yeah, back then. I wouldn't be. My what days?
Oboe? What did you play? The euphonium?
Euphonium.
People pay for SWATs now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
there are whole houses for it.
That's what I'm saying.
I've never been to one.
This is a real pay for SWAT operation.
Cottage industry.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Pay for SWATs.
123 DGS, happy Friday. I have the ring light on me for the very first time. Does it make any difference?
It kind of does.
Really?
Yeah. What do you guys think? I feel like I see
you're the only
difference.
One that thinks that, because you're always sucking up to me.
Well, no, it's because I'm sitting in front of it.
Well, I think it does. It's casting a soft light upon your face.
Nice.
You're not wrong there.
I like a soft light cast.
I also think you're beautiful.
Thank you.
I didn't know it was on.
You know who the best actors in the world are? The actors in antidepressant commercials. Have you seen these? Where they have to seem happier, but not happy. Like they're at their kid's birthday party and they're like, here's a cake. That's a tough putt.
Do you think that it is easier to act in that commercial if you are someone holding the happy sign because you can just look sad holding the happy face?
Yeah, that's
cheating?
The easier part.
Yeah.
But then when they have to put the sign down and they just have to be like, happy 4th of July.
Yeah.
See, I could do it.
Cautiously happy.
I could do it. I could do that. I know how to seem happier than I feel.
But not.
See?
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
But not too happy.
Not too happy. Yeah. No. You can't oversell. You can't have people thinking like you're going to go from sad to happy.
Yeah.
You're just going to go to less sad.
Yeah.
One in four. College graduates say it wasn't worth it. How's that hit you?
Doesn't surprise me at all. I know at least one. One of my very good friends doesn't. He went to college. He went to U of I and got like a, what do you call it? He got like a poli-sci degree and was immediately like, this was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. And then he went to SIUE and got a whole different degree. Hmm. Went back to school for several more years to get a different degree. And even that one, he's like, I don't know.
Boy, you do have to be careful. Phoebe's right in the belly of the beast of that, going into her sophomore year.
It's scary.
Yeah.
You tell 18-year-olds.
Decide what you're going to do for your life.
That's crazy.
Without even having done it, it's not like you get to do it for 3 years and then you're like, okay, I like this. I can do this for the rest of my life. Like, you, without knowing even really what the job is or going to be in the future, make up your mind right now.
Just last night at dinner, Phoebe has always had an interest in, like, medical, and of course you're like, you should be a doctor, you should be a brain surgeon. And she's like, no, the whole blood thing. But then in one of her AP classes, they went to the cadaver lab. Mm-hmm. And she ate it up. She just like, the one with the accordion face. Like, I loved that one.
Oh.
Like, first of all, what's wrong with you? Yep. Second of all, you couldn't put an IV in, but you can pull someone's head apart like an accordion? She's like, I don't know. So sue me.
Hmm.
Well, because they don't feel real. Or
that's what she
they
said.
They don't seem real.
They're like beef jerky.
Right. Right. And there's not actual blood. But to go back to the question, is it a... maybe this is splitting hairs a little bit, but is worth it the same as glad I did it? Because I think that you could say it probably wasn't worth all the money I spent, but I wouldn't trade it. Like, I would still do it again, go to college. Because if that's the case, then 75% of people are happy they went to college or they think it was worth it that they did it. I think that's a pretty high number.
Well, I was thinking about this because when I read that, the first thing I thought was, but you have to have a college degree. But you don't. But I think there are only a few ways that you can't. If you're going to be successful in life, you can go into a trade. You can go into a union. You can be an entrepreneur of some kind. A lot of people who never graduated high school who have 100 times more money than I do. But outside of that, what do you do if you don't have a college degree? I think you suffer, right?
Probably. And a lot of places won't look at you if you don't.
Exactly. 134 DGS, happy Friday. I just had Ranji smell me while you're gone, Aim.
Well, I know you guys have this relationship.
We do.
It's really centered around cologne and watches.
Smeller fellers.
I feel like you kind of walked in on it.
Intimate personal items. Well, I did. Your nose was right there.
Well, I trust his nose. So I wear this scent called Jazz Club. And by replica, and it's expensive. It's like $150 for 3 ounces. And I saw it on eBay for $34. I lied to you. It wasn't $50. I would try to sound cooler. It was $34.
But you did say like $50.
It looked exactly the same. And I got it in last night, and it's in the packaging. It looks exactly the same. It's all cellophaned up. I took it out, and I sprayed it on, and I'm like, it's reminiscent, but I'm not sure. So I'm not sure whether they like water it down or...
Like they like it's an imitation perfume.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a ton of those out there.
Yeah. It sounds
and some
like
of them are really good. And some of them are really good at faking it. Hell, you can get fake Rolexes, like fake watches that look very, very good. And people don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with these colognes, man.
I think that's one reason I think I would probably never buy a real Rolex. I would just figure people would assume it was fake. Like I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah, or I mean, it's quite a statement to have a Rolex, right? You're making a statement,
and for sure.
If the statement looks like, sometimes the statement can look like you're someone who makes bad financial decisions,
right?
You know what I mean? Because then they're going to judge the car you drive, the house you live in, and if things don't add up,
no one's happy for you.
Well, no one's happy for you, but also you just think, oh, that guy is kind of foolish because that seems like that watch was too big of a percentage.
Look at that Rolex; he's cool.
No.
People are like,
no, they don't care.
He can't afford it, or if he can, like, screw you, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess for me, it's not that I'm like, you know, like, screw you if you have a Rolex. It should fit because otherwise, gosh, this sounds bad. Otherwise, it just looks like a tryhard. Like, if someone has really expensive shoes, like $2,000 shoes, I'm like, okay, either that $2,000 pair of shoes is one of the cheapest pairs of shoes you own, or you made a bad financial decision. Because there's only a certain stratosphere that buys $2,000 shoes without it looking foolish.
What would you guys spend a bunch of money on? If you came into some money, you came into $100,000, what would you spend $5,000 on? One item.
Ooh, probably a bag, a nice bag.
Mm.
But like I don't even know. Well, that's not $5,000.
It's like $30,000, right?
Yeah. So I would have to do some research, maybe like a nice Chanel bag or something. But
are we talking? Are we talking clothing?
Anything?
$5,000.
Yeah, I would maybe do like a TV or sound system or something like that. Right? If it's clothing, I might go for a nice watch. I like watch. I don't wear them much, but I really like them. And I think they're an easy way to enhance your appearance.
Amy, I learned something about your partner over the break.
Uh-oh.
I did not know that he had called White Sox games.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, he's a big deal in Chicago.
That's pretty cool.
The Athletic wrote a whole multi-paragraph profile
a huge deal.
On him.
No way.
No, for real. It's like the Athletic wrote like the myth of Chris Ranji.
Like Andrew and I are both furious.
It wasn't like
Googling.
That.
Yeah, it is. He's like a huge deal. He called games.
Yeah,
like
big
in
deal.
Chicago, he's a huge deal.
That's cool.
Yep. Huge deal.
Yep.
Here I am.
It all paid off, didn't it?
You know what? I think I'm going to head to St. Louis.
It's all going great.
Work with Amy. Oh, this God. This clown.
No, we're talking about...
Remembering the sensation that was Chris Ranji's White Sox radio show.
We're talking about doing play-by-play, and everyone who goes into broadcasting wants to go into sports. Everyone who goes into sports wants to be a play-by-play person. And as Chris pointed out, there are 60 jobs. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of people with the last name like Kerry and Buck, and it's pretty tough to break in.
It is, and there's no one way to do it. We were talking about Chip Kerry's son, who's 24, and is it Oakland A's? It's the Oakland A's. Was named the A's broadcaster for this year. That's to be 24 and to get that call.
Oh man,
that's incredible. But and he might be good. I haven't actually heard him call a game, but he's not getting that look if his last name isn't Kerry. And I'm sure he's aware of that.
Sure.
And I think Joe Buck was very aware that he got the opportunities he did early on because his last name was Buck. He's very open about that.
I've talked to Joe about that, and he's always said it sounds like one of those things that people say in that position, but when he said, I had to be better than everyone else.
And he's right. And I used to make that argument because a lot of people would, you know, say, well, it's just straight nepotism. And it's some nepotism, but it turns out he's just really good at it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who are very, very good broadcasters and they'll never even get an opportunity to call a game on accident.
Well, you probably got your look because of your uncle's giant organ.
That will do. Should have seen that thing. Fox for years.
I forgot about the giant organ.
The big organ.
It's easy to.
Not hereditary.
Yeah, Jenkins Ranji was famous.
That's right, Jenkins.
Jenkins Ranji.
Did I dream it or did he call in?
He did call in. Mm-hmm.
I thought I dreamt it.
Yeah.
And I was praying that it was real and not a joke because I vetted him a couple times and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get fired.
But how about this?
This isn't Jenkins Ranji.
I still don't know if it was a joke or not.
Mm. Yeah.
It's still possible that guy just played a great part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The giant organ's a joke?
Well, no, that did happen, but the caller may have been a...
Well, wasn't he like, I'm in the car with your cousin, and it was like, I mean, it was pretty elaborate if he was faking it.
I hope he did fake it, because he was really good at it.
Yeah.
You're right. If that was fake, it...
What is the, other than your current jobs, what is the coolest thing in this industry you guys have done? Could, like, for example, for me, all those years that I was on CNN and Fox News a couple, three times a night with a week was really cool. And I would say doing my stand-up on DGS Live was really cool. What have you guys done that you're like, this was pretty tight?
This is it for me, big dog. One time that St. Louis Magazine People Around Town page where they take your picture and they might put it in there if you go to an event. One time I was in one of those.
Hey,
that's nothing to sneeze at.
Like one half of my face was in there. So that's about the biggest.
That's how I feel too. Yeah. When Wheels threw out the first pitch the other day and they were like filming us, I turned around to look at myself on the Jumbotron because I'm like, I'm never going to get this opportunity ever again.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it. Being on the Jumbotron with you and then with Wheeler. When you guys throw out your first pitches, that's the apex of what I have achieved.
You threw out the first pitch, right?
Yeah, last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Did you get nervous?
Not really. I just knew to throw high. Yeah. That's what they tell you, aim high, because you think it's going to, you know, sail, but it won't.
Yeah, that's the most nervous, that's the most unexpectedly nervous I've been.
Hmm.
Like, it really surprised me. Because I, like, practiced. I'm that dork. Because I was going to, like, not throw as hard as I could, but I was not going to just, like, you know, toss it.
Yeah.
And so I was downstairs in the tunnel throwing to Wiggins and stuff like that. And then I got up there and I was just like, holy crap.
Yeah. We had a day game, right? I don't feel like there were a ton of people there, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like we talked about with weddings, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. Professional pitchers throw wild pitches,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if you get up there as just a schmuck and you throw a pitch, it's not a strike.
And you haven't warmed up.
No one cares.
No, in fact, you're probably doing it better if you throw a bad one.
Yeah, it's way more entertaining for everybody. Amy, what's your best?
Oh, for like my career as far as like in this industry, 100% doing pre and post game for the Blues on their Stanley Cup run, being in the locker room every single day. I mean, I won't ever forget when the Blues were in last place in January, talking to Ryan O'Reilly and him just sitting there being like, man, I'm a cancer in the locker room. I'll never forget meeting Jordan Binnington. Like, who's this guy? coming up, and then being there day after day, and then being on that ride, and you know, and for me also a dream come true, because my eighth grade West County Christian Home Educators yearbook, there's a picture of me, I'm 12 years old, it says Amy's dream is to be a Blues hockey announcer. Wow. That's what it says.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so like exactly 20 years later that happened. And so to you know, be in the broadcast booth with Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale when Pat Maroon scored in game 7, you know, to send us to the next round, and then being on the ice in Boston, that whole experience was so surreal. It was so surreal that I even today I struggle to grasp that I was there.
Have you thought, I know you wrote about it at the time, obviously, have you thought about going back and doing a retrospective like that?
I have a little bit, because there is actually, I met Jordan Binnington, and you're in the locker room every day, right? So you get to know the guys pretty well. And it, just like, you know, just being there. And
do you see him naked?
Well, hockey's really good with not walking around that way. Wow, yeah.
Dang.
And, but they're like, you know, like, what's your, you know, do you do this full time? And I was tutoring, I was teaching AP literature. And Jordan Binnington, like, said, well, he's like, I've wanted to read a classic book. Like, what book should I read? And I'm like, well, and I didn't want to start him off with Charles Dickens, you know, which is my favorite. So I said, actually, if you like dystopian literature, Fahrenheit 451, you should read that. He's like, okay. So then a few weeks go by, right? We're in the playoffs. They win the first round against the Winnipeg Jets. And he goes, Amy, after the scrum, like the media is talking in the locker room after the game, they've just won. They're going to the second round. He goes, Amy. And I walk over. He goes, it's like, okay. He's like, I'm a little confused, but like they're burning a lot of books. So I'm like, yeah. And then after the Pat Maroon, Dallas Stars, a couple weeks later, Pat Maroon, game 7 at home. Amy, he goes, I get why they're burning the books and they don't want people to think for themselves. And we, you know, he chatted about it. He's like, this is good. And then game 7 in Boston, they win the Stanley Cup. They're passing the cup around. I'm on the ice. I get on the ice. The first person I see is Jordan Binnington. He looks at me and I look at him and we just yell. We go, ah. He goes, I finished that effing book last night. I go, no way. And then he gave me a hug and he said,
funny.
Every his routine was on road trips. Right before he went to bed, he would read a bit of that book in the hotel room, and it just got him out of everything.
Wow.
And went to bed, and he finished it the night before
game 7.
You're kind
of responsible for the cup.
I know. I mean, you're welcome. But he did say, he goes, you were a huge part of this. He's like, I used
so
that.
Cool.
So that was something that I've always thought I should put that into like a little short story.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat.
That was so funny. There was, I finished that blanking book last night.
Do you get to see those guys anymore?
No, I mean, I'm not involved. Yeah. And I mean, because it's really, it's just interviewing, right? It's not like you're hanging out. You're just in the locker room or after practice. So when I took the job with Charlie Brennan, I did for half a season, I would swing by practices when I could, but then COVID hit. Everything was shut down. So, I mean, I don't know anyone on the team anymore.
I hear he's naked a lot.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something you have to put up with if you're going to be his partner. 152 DGS, good hour. This, we've just been talking. Like, we haven't even been doing a radio show. Before I lose Ronj, a couple of sports things. Remember how I go crazy. I've talked about this before, how if a ball touches anything but the hands in the MLB, they throw it out. And how we used to have one baseball per summer. And if you lost it, you played basketball.
Yeah.
It makes me nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, just use the balls.
Well, because, you know why? Because if the ball hits the dirt, it'll get a scuff on it.
Then they can use it.
And these guys are so good that they can, a curveball will break 10 feet instead of 2.
How many balls do they go through in a game?
I've heard the number. I've totally forgotten, but
like 100 and something?
It's a lot.
Gotta be a couple hundred.
It's a
gotta
lot.
Be.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. When Wheels and I went and did the batting practice thing, they just have buckets of brand new, someone foul tipped it.
What do they do with 200 balls a game? Like, what do they do with those?
They just recycle them for batting practice and guys like me that come out and do a fantasy thing.
If it gets thrown, some of them get tossed aside for authentication because then they get auctioned off.
Sure.
Through MLB's website. The rest of them go into the bag that they use for batting practice.
It is approximately one full cow per baseball game. Because it's about 130 balls a game. And you can make about 144 balls out of one cow hide.
Wow. If you've ever been to Wisconsin, we've got plenty of cows.
Plenty of cows. So, I have another real question. So Marmol seems to be quite spicy when it comes to fighting and getting thrown out. Do you think that you can be an effective MLB manager and never or rarely get thrown out?
Well, I mean, if you're winning all the time, yes. But I think that that happens. There are multiple reasons guys will push themselves to get thrown out. One of them is they do think it'll fire people up. Another one is they're just hotheads. And some of it, sometimes they'll do it as a distraction, you know, just a distraction from everything else, take the heat off players and put it on themselves. I don't think you have to get thrown out, but what people want to see is that you got a little bit of life in you.
Yeah.
Right.
Rach was talking about, what's the guy's name? John Boy.
Oh, John Boy,
Yeah.
And how stupid the arguments are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really, really
very
dumb.
Yeah.
They're really stupid. Sometimes a guy goes out there knowing that he's just doing it so he can get thrown out to make the show.
My favorite one, I think it happened this year, was when the ump says, "Do you want me to ring you up?" And he says, "No." And he rings him up. And he goes, "I effing said no. I thought you said you wanted me to ring you up. I effing said no."
And that's the thing, too. So then that's giving you some insight, knowing that the umpires know that's what's happening sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a legit argument. Other times a manager's trying to make a point.
So do they make up? Or do they just know that's the cost of doing business and they see them the next day?
Well, yeah, most of the time it's that. But then there are some times where there's real animosity. So Angel Hernandez gets picked on all the time because he's terrible.
Right.
I think guys, managers, coaches, players will fly off the handle quicker with him because they already have it in his mind that he's terrible.
Makes sense. Have a good weekend, guys.